This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh, and with me is Julian Ng. You're listening to Pressing Matters Right Now, the show that goes behind the headlines where we speak to members of the press on their stories. Joining us today is S. Aruldas, a former journalist with the Malay Mail. Welcome to the show, Aruldas.
Thank you. Welcome.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome. Good morning. Well, you were one of the first to break the story on Wang Ke-liang.
Yep.
Yeah, could you just share with us how did you come across this story and what made you pursue it?
In fact, it started with Myanmar nationalists being murdered in Penang. Killed, about 25 Myanmar nationalists were killed in Penang,
mm-hmm.
Especially on the mainland Penang.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was reporting. Then I said these murders are linked to the communal clash in Myanmar. Okay, police initially refused to accept. Then later, they agreed with my claim, with my supporting facts and other supporting data on
okay.
the matter.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I reported about 20 bodies were abandoned on the mainland Penang in Seberang Perai. All the districts, there are three districts in Seberang Perai, Utara, Tengah and Selatan. Three districts, and bodies were just dumped. So I said these bodies, these deaths are linked to the human traffickers. Because the bodies, normally the dump is naked and is wrapped with either bed sheets or blankets. What they do, they dump. I can say two instances. Once there was two bodies in 4 kilometers distance, dumped in a river at Jalan Kulim. But Jalan Kulim runs into Seberang Perai. Okay, so the two bodies apart in about 4 kilometers distance. Then another incident was in Kulim, Lunas Kulim, in a Chinese cemetery, where two bodies, so about 100 meters distance. So both also, the modus operandi is just wrap in bed sheets and blankets, just dump them.
Mm-hmm.
And also in oil palm plantations, you know, in bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And many could have been unreported, I believe, during that time.
So the Sun Daily has reported in their news report dated 31st January 2019, that since that time, relevant agencies have exhumed about 139 bodies from the site in Wang Ke-liang.
Yep.
But how did you know where the body? I mean, did somebody give you a tip as to how to search for the bodies?
No, after writing all these stories, the murder and the abandoning of the bodies, the Malay Mail editorial team, we discussed, and what is the root cause or where's the source? How they come in, illegal immigrants or migrants, how they come in, or human trafficking. So we know well that human trafficking is taking place at the border,
mm-hmm.
at Thai-Malaysian border, at Padang Besar until Kayu Hitam. So myself and my cameraman, Sayuti Zainuddin, both of us went. In fact, we started... I reported many stories on human trafficking and the migrants rescued by the authorities since 2013-14. So 2014, I reported about the murder and the abandoning of the bodies. Okay, end of 2014, I moved to the border. I went to interview when there are many places along the border. The Felkara schemes and sugarcane plantations and rubber estates along the border. It's from Bukit Kayu Hitam until Wang Ke-liang. I think it's about 60 kilometers along the border. So, and a common fact that people know, there was Lorong Tikus. The trafficking agents, the syndicates, cut the wire fencing
Oh, okay.
for the migrants to come in. There are certain areas, but there are certain areas there's no wall, no fencing. They can just walk into Malaysian border. So there are many things, and I expose all this. And then I was at a coffee shop in Jitra with my cameraman. Then I overheard people talking about the mass graves. This was in on I think March 9, 2015. So immediately I told my cameraman Sayuti, shall we go to Wang Kalyan? I have never been to Wang Kalyan. It's something very strange. I mean, it's the border at the tip of Malaysian Thai border. So both of us went. First time both of us going. And when we reached Kaki Bukit, it was, a different feeling for us. It's not Malaysia anymore. Then we have to travel up the hill. It's 9 kilometers going up the hill, hilly roads. Then you come down. When you come down to Wang Kalyan, it is a different kind of environment, feeling that you are no more in Malaysia. You're no more in Malaysia. But very small village, only about 200 to 300 people living in that village. So when we reached there, we decided not to ask anyone. Just observe and see what we can get for our stories. And I think the place or the path to the hills is about 200 meters from the checkpoint. And there's about 50 meters away, there's a complex. But it's separated by forest, trees, jungles. Then on that day itself, we parked the car and we went up the hill. Okay, we saw many parts to the hill, to the peak. And we walked up about 200 to 300 meters every path and we gave up. Because every path looks similar.
Okay.
And we go without compass, without any guidance, and we are not hill trekkers. Okay? So we came back. We gave up and we came back.
And so after that, what made you go at it again? You gave up, and then after that, how long after that did you continue your search for this story?
After that, until April, I think I went about 6 times. I went alone. This time, Sayuti didn't accompany me. I went alone. So I also did the same thing earlier that we trying to reach the site, the mass grave site. But I fail also because it's thick forest, the risk is always there. The human trafficking syndicate agents can be there, and also wild animals. I'm scared of snakes. Even outside the house, on the grass or bushes, I don't step in. I'm very scared of snakes. But I did. I went alone. I don't know what some energy that took me there.
So you report a lot on human trafficking, mentioned. Can you tell us about some of the other sombering experiences that you've had that you felt strongly about? I mean, you mentioned about the syndicate meeting them. Were there other experiences?
With the Sun newspaper, it was early 1998, something like that. I reported 30 Pakistani women were locked up by effective management in Bukit Martajam. That's one of my earlier stories. Okay, I wrote the stories, and the Pakistani embassy came to they came and they helped rescue and send back the women, 30 women. That's one of my stories, earlier stories. Then in 2007, an Indian national was killed, and he was tortured. He was locked up in a dark room, scalded with hot water, cigarette butts, burns, then chained. Then from Bukit Martajam, he was taken to Gurun in Kedah and was thrown into a jungle, abandoned.
And obviously, Malaysia is one of the worst violators of human trafficking in the world. It's not a title that we are very proud of, and policy is also very inadequate. What do you think the government should do about this, especially the new government?
I think enforcement of our laws, we can prevent and stop human trafficking. I think we have sufficient laws, and enforcement is important. That's the only way to stop them.
Why do you think this is not being done right now?
I don't say right now. I think the human trafficking what I know, boats from Bangladesh and Myanmar had stopped coming after my report, because I have some people also in
Your
Bangladesh.
Report when, sorry?
My report was in 2015, May, after my exposure. One of the United Nations people, staff, told me that the boat movements and the recruitment for human trafficking had stopped completely. But there are people still coming.
Okay, so enforcement is important, like you say, to read this. Yeah. Well, we're speaking to S. Arul Das, a former journalist with the Malay Mail. After this, we'll continue our discussions with him on his coverage on Wang Ke-liang and human trafficking stories. So stay tuned to The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. Good morning, Joyce and Julian here with you, and you're listening to Pressing Matters, the show that goes behind the headlines where we speak to members of the press on their stories. We're speaking to S. Arul Das, a former journalist with Malay Mail, and he shared with us his coverage on Wang Ke-liang as well as human trafficking stories. Arul Das, what's the challenging part of, you know, your work when you're pursuing all these stories? Share with us the challenges that you had faced over time.
Challenges is I risk my life. That is there for me, because I'm doing something against the will of the human trafficking syndicates. They are very powerful. I mean, their networking must be very good. Otherwise, they cannot be working from Bangladesh, Thailand, and Malaysia. So they have a very good network, how to smuggle in, where to house them, you know, and how to distribute the victims or the migrants. Okay, they're very organized. They're very organized. If I alone go against their will, it's something dangerous and risky. Mm. You know? So each time I go, or I go out, even at night, during that time, I was very cautious. Very cautious. So some people also advised me to be careful when traveling outside. But whenever I was at the border, I don't talk to people, tell them that why I am there at the border. So that was the risky part. When I submit the story, I have to substantiate with my facts and figures, and supporting or documents, whatever it is. So it is tough. Mm. It's not that easy to get.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, the editors will not accept your story.
Mm. Mm.
So I managed to do it. I managed to convince them.
And obviously, the other challenge is the correct dissemination of information. Of course, because this kind of work is very close to your heart.
Yep.
So it was recently reported that you wanted the police to correctly state the facts about the Wang Ke-liang case. What was this about? Could you give us a background?
I would say my stand was to set the record straight. Because many stories carried police announce the discovery of the migrant camps and the mass graves. What would an ordinary man interpret? He would say that the police have discovered and announced the camps and the mass graves, actually, which is not. It was done by me and my cameraman. So I only disputed that.
Mm.
I only disputed that. Because if I don't correct that fact, later it will become it become history. That will become the fact.
You mentioned something about methodology, and you place quite a high importance on this kind of methodology. Can you just give us an idea of what kind of steps you take to ensure that your facts are correct and it's definitely, you know, unshakable? These are real and concrete facts, right? And does that lengthen the time you come up with a story?
Yeah, Definitely, it took sometimes stories. I remember I wrote a story in December 2014. My story was carried in March.
Okay.
They kept it for more almost about 4 months. Mm.
How do you make sure that your facts are up to standard? What kind of personal benchmarks do you set for yourself?
I substantiate with the confirmation from the authorities. But sometimes we use sources.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? But that is the fact. I mean, that is the confirmation, I mean, by the authorities. But we have, sources here and there. We talk to people and we determine that this is the truth. In fact,
when you stumble on, for example, a mass grave, yeah. Obviously you have your photographer with you and you have photographic evidence. Do you count the bodies as well?
Okay. I must tell you, I see about 6 times I attempted to go up on Malaysian side from Mongolian. I failed.
Why is that?
I failed.
What happened? Like something stopped then? You or...?
After March, April, May, I went to Thailand. Then 2 days before I discovered the mass graves, I joined the Thai army because they were also looking for migrant camps on the hills. I joined the Thai army somewhere not very far from our border. I think it's about 50-60 kilometers from Hajjai. See, we went up. I joined about 150 Thai military personnel to go up the hill in search of the migrant camps. So I was almost exhausted. Mm. Can't even take a step forward to this thing, to walk. You know. Then after that, they decided to come down. So I fell a few times on the hills, on the rocks. It was slippery because I never wear proper shoe for hill trekking. Okay, I came back. After that, they rescued about 300 people and kept them in a community hall. I was there and the deputy IGP of Thailand came. I interviewed all that. After that, May 11th, I came back. I drove back. After midnight, I reached home. One day after, my contacts in Thailand called me. They say, can we go on Wednesday? It was on May 13th. So I decided, I called my cameraman. I think we need to go tomorrow. Is it okay for you? He said, okay. So the next day, we started our journey about 6 a.m. We drove to Padambasa and... Do we have time? Well, okay, we reached Padambasa. Then my editorial team said, asked them to come to our side, Malaysian side, to take us. And when I talked to them, they said they don't know, they have never been to Malaysia. So they expect me to cross over and they will take us. Then my editors feared, it's not safe for me to enter there and go up the hills because... They can be the agents of the syndicates. But anyway, I told my editor that I'm taking the risk. I make sure that I will come back. And my cameraman also agreed. Both of us crossed over and we went into Padambasa. And I think about 3 p.m., we moved to the site, to the hills.
Mm. Well, what are your thoughts on the government's move to set up a Royal Commission of Inquiry into the case? You've said that you're willing to testify?
Yeah. No, I think it's good. The Royal Commission of Inquiry will unearth a lot of truth, you know, and let the truth and justice to prevail.
Okay, we've been speaking to S. Arul Das, a former journalist with the Malay Mail, on his coverage of Wang Kelian, the story, as well as his stories on human trafficking. Thank you for your time, Arul Das.
Thank you. That's all.
Thank you. That's all we have on Pressing Matters on the Morning Run today. Stay tuned for the 10 a.m. news after this, followed by Enterprise at BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.